Here we are in Cana, where Jesus performed the first of his miracles, an insight to his divinity, revealing who he truly is and manifesting his glory in some regard. It's interesting that his first miracle took place during a wedding. But if we think about it, in a way, the entire Bible and all of our faith is about a wedding. Not the wedding between a man and a woman, but the wedding between God and humanity. This kind of a wedding was pointed to in our first reading from Isaiah, where God was referring to his relationship with Israel as kind of like a husband to a wife. And if we went all the way back to Genesis, we would see at the beginning of the Bible, we have a wedding taking place. We have Adam and Eve. And at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelations, what do we see? We see a wedding feast of Christ and his bride. But who is the bride of Christ? It's not Mary Magdalene. The bride of Christ is his church. St. Paul says this in more than one of his letters in the New Testament. Christ marries his church. It's God and his people. Just as it was in our first reading. All of this can be summed up as a relationship of husband and wife. And in fact, earthly marriage, husband and wife, represents God and his church, represents Jesus Christ and his church. The two become one. God and his people become one. They are united. In the sacrament of marriage, two baptized Christians come together and they become a sign of that union of God and his church. But sacraments sacraments also do what they signify. So it signifies the union of Christ and his church, but it also brings it about. As husband and wife are loving each other, are sacrificing for each other, it is bringing about in a spiritual way an abundance of grace to the church. And it's bringing about a greater union between God, Jesus Christ, and his church. In heaven, there is no marriage, as Jesus told us, because we no longer need that sign of marriage of Christ and his church. We have the reality in heaven. Each one of us are united to God in heaven. And that union is what marriage points to. And that reality is seen in those who live a life of celibacy, whether it be priesthood or religious life. It's pointing to heaven, to that union, not of a human husband and a human wife, but the union of humanity with God. And so in a way, even though I'm a priest, I'm married too. But it's not exactly the same kind of marriage. It's pointing to the kind of marriage, the reality that would take place in heaven, where we are united to God. In the wedding vows, it's always till death do us part. At that point, the marriage is over. But it's not like you're going to forget who your spouse was here on earth. In heaven, you're going to be united even more closely to each other than you are here on earth. Which may sound very strange, but it's a reality, a spiritual reality, that in heaven we will all be closer to each other, husband and wife, but also friends and family. All will be united closer to each other than we are here on earth. And that's a great gift, a great blessing. But also, even during the Mass, which is a taste of heaven, we have this marriage symbolism. You might recall from earlier during our pilgrimage, I mentioned, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." But the next line is, "Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." What supper is that? That's the wedding feast we hear about in Revelations. That's the wedding feast of heaven. That's the wedding feast that I'm referring to. So during the Mass, we are celebrating that wedding feast of heaven and earth, that wedding feast of Jesus Christ with his bride, the church. Every Mass is a wedding, but it's not like we're observers. As members of the church, we are the bride. Now, that may make some guys uncomfortable, but I'm talking about in a spiritual level. In a spiritual level, all of humanity is the bride of Christ. The whole church is the bride of Christ. And if you think about it, when we have our first Holy Communions, what did the little boys and girls look like? They look like little brides and grooms, because they are coming to be united with God in Holy Communion. So coming to Mass is like a renewal of that wedding vow with God, of that union with God. Coming to Mass is renewing our faith, but also renewing our love and our union and our desire to be united with God. Everything can be summed up in the Mass, and even the sacrament of marriage is seen in the Mass. And the sacrament of marriage points to an even greater union, the union of Christ and His church, the union of humanity with God, a true blessing and a great gift. And so, just as the Bible ends with the book of Revelations with this great wedding feast, in some ways it seems very fitting that we would be celebrating the wedding feast at Cana as our last Mass on our pilgrimage. It's kind of a summary of all the things that we have done and hopefully are growing closer to the Lord during this pilgrimage. As part of our time here, shortly after a brief moment of silence after my homily, we will have the renewal of wedding vows. And so husbands and wives can reiterate the bond that began during their wedding. Reiterate and renew and strengthen that union that points to Christ and His church. So let us take a moment now to just give thanks to the Lord for the Mass, for marriage, for all the blessings we've received on this pilgrimage. And let us ask Him also, in a brief moment of silence, to help strengthen us to carry what we've received back into our daily lives. And let us do this as we prepare ourselves to encounter our Lord in the most Holy Eucharist. Amen.